actually kind of forgot about it till about 8:30 last night, and I kind of went in a mad scramble to get something prepared, and but I was thinking about with our Sunday school, what we're studying about Stephen being the first martyr. So I decided to read a story out of the Martyr's Mirror, and then after that I'm going to read some out of Revelation. But anyhow, this story in the Martyr's Mirror I'm going to read is about Thomas Hann. In the year 1592, on the 12th day of May, Thomas Hann of Nickensburg was imprisoned for his faith at Friedberg in Bavaria. He was also very severely tortured and racked in order that he should tell what they wanted and renounce his faith. They had suspended him by ropes from 8 until 11 o'clock, but he answered them, You have my body, do with it what you will. You shall not deprive me of my soul. And I shall also tell you what you want. Sorry. I shall also not tell you what you want or betray anyone. Though you extract the veins out of my body, one after the other, and cut away a strip from my skin every day, yet will I not renounce nor depart from the truth. They applied to him many words of reproach as that he was a deceiver and had seduced many to the sect of the Anabaptists. But he said to them, "It is true, Christian baptism and not Anabaptism. And if I convert the whole world, I would gladly die 3 times if it were possible." When he had been in confinement about 7 weeks, he was, on the 8th day of July, brought into the council house to be sentenced. As this took place, he turned to the people and exclaimed 3 times with a loud voice, "Honor and thanks be to God that it has come to this, and that it is his will." The executioner bound him and wanted to place him into the wagon, but he said, "I will walk to death, even as Christ our Lord walked to death." And he thereupon commenced to sing. The beadle enjoined him silence, but the executioner said, "Let him alone." In going out, a priest joined him to himself, and also other persons went with him. The priest asked him whether he thought that he and his like were alone righteous, and that the rest were all damned. But Thomas answered, "We endeavor to live piously and shun sin, but those who will live in sin, we put away from us and do not tolerate them. Yet we condemn no one, but everyone that commits sin is condemned by his evil works, and this we tell them." The priest said, "We also approve sin." The brother said, How should you reprove? For where the shepherd is not good, how should the sheep be good? If you are false prophets, how then shall you reprove falseness?" He further said to the priest, "Go away, you false prophet. I cannot behold you any longer." Thereupon, the priest began to exalt his sacrament, and that it was the true body and blood of Christ, and that whatsoever partakes of it is no sin. The brother said, "You go around with your sacrament and sell it for money, even as Judas betrayed the Lord. But we observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him, according to his commandment." He then asked the priest where there was anything written of the sacrament. The priest became silent and did not know what to answer, except he said this, "It is written in the Bible." Thomas asked, "Where?" The priest said, "Paul writes in the 15th chapter." The brother said, "It is not so," and then went on to say, "Do go away from me, you false prophet." When they arrived at the place of execution, the executioner asked whether he wanted to pray. This he did, and then said, "I have finished my prayer. Proceed for now, for I wish to get out of this world." He then knelt down, and the executioner quickly drew forth the sword to frighten him, and then begged him to, three times for God's sake to renounce and that he would let him go. But the brother said, renounce I will not, but proceed with your work, for it must be. Thus the executioner beheaded him. He peacefully commended his spirit to God. The executioner placed the body upon the wood and singed a little, and then buried the severed head with the body. And though there was a strong wind that day, yet the smoke of the fire ascended straight up into heaven. This can also be testified by all who saw this. Anyhow, I was impressed with how he firmly stood his ground and defended the truth, well, a lot like Stephen did. And I'm also going to read out of Revelation 21. It just describes what heaven is, what the reward is for the faithful. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereupon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The height and the length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I'm not going to read all the stones because I'll just embarrass myself trying to pronounce them. So I'll skip down to verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anyhow, I just really like this chapter, the way it describes heaven. You know, not only is it a great and beautiful city, but I think one of the things that excite me the most is that there's nothing bad there. It's just, everything is perfect. And, you know, in this life, we have all kinds of trials that we don't know what's going to happen next. But not only that, our Creator will be there too, and that's what I enjoy the most to see, is be able to sit down with Him face to face. I mean, we, in a way, we have that privilege here, but it'll be in a different manner. And also to be able to talk with martyrs, you know, it's encouraging to me to see how other people were faithful, even, you know, to the point of being tortured brutally. And I guess that's my prayer, that I can live up to that too. So anyhow, let's bow our heads for prayer.